Morning, everyone. How's the social media going?
Not amazing. I can't remember the Twitter password.
Oh, it's in the binder.
Oh, awesome. Well, yeah. Which one?
It's the one, I think. Oh, wait, that one's empty. Okay, I've lost the binder.
All right. This one here, this binder, is now what we're going to use to keep track of the binders, okay?
Okay, what if I just start a new Twitter account and we all try and keep track of things a little bit better?
That's actually a much better plan. But first, let's do a wallet inspection. Who have we got?
This week, we've got Cam Kilgore.
Who's that?
Well, he's a rugby manager. He was the assistant rugby manager for the Auckland Blues from 2003 to 2004. He then spent some time in Brisbane as the manager for the Brisbane local club East Tigers when they won a couple of premierships. He then went to South Canterbury and was the manager for them in Timaru. But really, he just adds a level of professionalism and family among the clubs that he manages, which was never more evident than when he was given opportunity to manage the international team, the Cook Islands, when they were just one win away from making the World Cup for the very first time. In fact, it was turned into a movie called One More Win, where we can see the enormous impact that Cam has in his role.
Sounds great. Let's get him on the line.
The following stories are true. None of the names have been changed. These are the files of the Wallet Inspectors.
Thank you for taking our call. This is just a regular routine wallet inspection. Do you consent to us inspecting?
I do.
Wonderful, I do. Wonderful. Well, step one is I'm going to hand you over to Deputy Inspector Luke Gold, who is our sketch artist, who's going to get an idea of what your wallet looks like.
Yes, thank you for your time, Mr. Kilgore. We'll start off with a nice and simple one. What shape is your wallet?
It's a square.
Good choice.
Black square. It's actually... My phone is, or my wallet case is my phone cover. It's my insurance on my phone.
I see. All right. Okay. We're working with one of these. I'll make sure to note that down.
Aren't you worried that if you, now you just have to lose one object and once it's gone, it's like how they make the Wiggles fly in two separate planes so you don't lose all the Wiggles at once?
I have a bad issue of losing things. So if I have just one, then it, you know, cuts it out that I might only lose the one thing. So
kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly. That's it. We're a bit, we're sort of futuristic over New Zealand.
I have heard that about New Zealand. So you've alluded to it being a phone case wallet combo. What material is it made out of?
It's obviously all black because that's our, you know, most popular color over here. Yeah. Then it's leather on the outside and a bit of a furry material on the inside with a few pockets, where you keep your, you know, keep your cards and keep a few other bits and pieces that I'll tell you about.
Furry.
I'm interested in this fur. What kind of fur?
Let's pump the brakes a little on that.
I think it's possum fur.
Possum. Now we're talking. Hello.
Damn.
So, so what condition would you say the wallet is in?
It's perfect. It's I could resell it if I needed to.
We'll put a link to Gumtree in the episode. I think we've got a pretty good idea of what it's looking like at the moment. So I'm going to hand you over now to Senior Constable Alex Jones, who's going to investigate you about the contents of your wallet.
Perfect.
Where's the most interesting place that your wallet has been?
Shit. It's been in a... Oh, R18. It's been in a... part of a threesome in Scotland.
Why? How did your wallet get involved in that? Or was it a purchase threesome?
It was off Tinder, so the phone obviously has the Tinder app. So the phone and the wallet had to go with me to the threesome in Glasgow.
Yep. Would you rate the threesome out of 10?
It was one of my only threesomes, actually. So I'd rate it probably 8 out of 10. It was awesome. It's really, really
nice.
Good.
Room for improvement.
And I would...
yes, definitely room for improvement.
I would assume it wasn't the devil's threesome, was it?
It was two girls, one, and obviously me.
Yeah, good.
The math checks out.
What about in terms of your occupation? Where is your occupation and your career taking your wallet? Is that your occupation?
That's part of my occupation, actually. Yeah, that is actually part of my occupation.
I don't know why I'm inspecting wallets if there's jobs out there like that.
It was during the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. So that was with the Cook Islands Sevens team. So we went over and took part in the Commonwealth Games over there. And it's just a shame the Cook Islands aren't at the Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, sorry, man, you have thrown me.
You really haven't got to what's in my wallet yet.
I don't want to now, and I'm scared. No, I do. I want to know everything.
If you really want to know what happened, usually, because I'm a manager on tour, so I'm usually very well behaved, but this was my last campaign with the Sevens, so I, you know, was going to make I was going to Glasgow.
Yeah.
Going to the Commonwealth Games, I wanted to make it a good one. And I know you guys are the same, you know, Aussie accents or Kiwi accents do really well overseas. Mm. So I changed my Tinder profile, I downloaded the Tinder app, and then I added this profile pic of me with my shirt off holding a sheep. On a lakefront in New Zealand, and shit, it did very well over there. So it was awesome.
You know what you should caption that photo on your Tinder profile?
What's that?
This could be you, but then you spell E-W-E.
Oh, nice.
That
is
very
bloody good. Good Kiwi, good Kiwi joke there. Very good. But so that's one of the stories from Glasgow.
This is wonderful. All right, so we'll go back to the wallet. What's the oldest thing you can identify on your wallet?
It's probably my driver's license, which sort of tells you that I'm old. But I've got quite boring. My MasterCard is maxed out. My driver's license is just up to date. My gym card, which is part of my role, which is part of my job, which is good. And then I've got a nice wee brand new photo of my new baby niece.
How old is she?
She was born on December the 29th.
Oh, nice.
So very new niece. But her photo takes over my wallet now, which is good. So I've got to sort of be a bit more well behaved now with my wallet.
Yeah. We'll go back to your career a little bit. Are there any sort of souvenirs? We know you've got the photo of your little niece in there, but are there any sort of souvenirs from your career that you keep on you to sort of remind yourself or inspire yourself? Maybe they're not in your wallet.
They're definitely not in my wallet. But a lot of events, and obviously my occupation is rugby management. So I keep, we always, each tournament or each event that we're at, we're given a lanyard and ID. So I've kept all my lanyards and IDs from all the tournaments and big games and super rugby games that I've been involved with. So that's something I keep, and that's something that I'll hopefully add to. I've been to the Hong Kong Sevens, but the Commonwealth Games were at the Rangers Stadium in Glasgow, 50,000 seat event, and it was sold out for the whole event. So for both days that we were there and we were competing, it was chocker. Yeah. And that was quite impressive. It's awesome to be a part of.
Absolutely. Have you had any sort of interest and kept an eye on the Rugby Tens at the moment?
I have, yes, yep, been watching the Rugby Tens, and it was good to see that the Blues finally had a win.
Carlos Spencer was in the team as well. They can only seemingly win a title with him in the team.
That's right, exactly. That's it. Hey, it's good that he's back, and I like that idea that they bring back a veteran to play in each team. I think it's fantastic, and it's really good to see Carlos back in the mix.
And Big Brad Thorne coaching the Reds. Have you got the call up yet?
That's a good move.
Yeah.
hopefully one day. But it's good. It's really good for Queensland rugby, and you know he takes no shit. And I think the Quade Cooper sort of selection or non-selection has caused a few issues. But it just shows you how Brad doesn't bend over for anybody, and it's his way or no way really. And he's he's won every title there is as a player. He's got the reputation, and he's got the respect, and I think that's really, really bodes well for Queensland rugby and Aussie rugby.
Hopefully.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about some of the people that you've met in your time as a rugby manager. Who's the most interesting person you've met in your travels?
Spent a lot of time in New Zealand rugby. It's been 10, 15 years in New Zealand rugby. So I've met, Richie McCaw and Dan Carter, nice. The big guns. But talking about the Blues, I had a role with them back in 2004 as an assistant manager, and I used to have to look after a bloke called Rupini Thaothao.
Oh, nice.
Rupini Thaothao and Booker, and he was a superstar Fiji winger. He used to go walkabout quite a bit, or would fly him off to Fiji for a holiday, and then he wouldn't come back. So my role for that whole year was just to look after him. This was a Blues team with Carlos and Doug Howlett and Joe Rokitoko. Was quite a star-studded team, but my one job was just to look after Rupini. But one Thursday after training, I was just getting ready to leave, and the coach and the manager called me over and said, "Oh, what are you up to this weekend, Cam?" And I go, "Oh, I've got this 21st. It's going to be mean." And then they said, "Nah, you don't. You're actually flying to Fiji with Rupini, and you've got to make sure that he comes back." So it was a night. I was early 20s. It was a very stressful taking this superstar from the 2003 World Cup, which was in Australia. He was a superstar, and he was massive.
I actually was at that game, Fiji versus France, where he scored that 60-metre.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the length of the field try, and then did the aeroplane at the end.
Yeah, and then he punched somebody and got suspended too, I think, in that game. But, yeah, he scored some amazing tries. But so I had to – his village is pretty much – it's three flights and a two-and-a-half-hour drive. So from Auckland Airport, it's three flights to his village, and then a 2.5 hour drive on really, really nice roads to his village. And so my one job was to go over there for like 2 days and then bring him back. And it was like a Mission Impossible. It was crazy, and it was very nerve wracking for me. And well looked after, treated really, really nice over there. But we, just trying to get him to leave. The day that we had to leave was a nightmare, and waking him up and just making sure that someone picked us up and took us back to one of the airports and then catch all three flights back. It was very stressful. And I remember landing and getting out of the airport, and I get this phone call from the manager, and it wasn't, "Hey, g'day Cam, how was your trip? Did you have a good time?" It was, "Cam, is he with you?" I go, "Yep." And then he hung up, and then that's good. That was it. Mission accomplished. So that's part of one side of rugby management that people don't see.
Some of the curveballs you get. What about, I had heard mention that one night you received a knock on the door and you were pretty surprised to see who it was.
So, it was the same sort of year. And obviously, because Rupini was so big from the 2003 World Cup, everybody from the Broncos and an NFL team and then obviously all the European clubs wanted to sign Rupini. So Johnny Wilkinson he'd just won the World Cup for England, and he was the biggest name in world rugby then. And he secretly flew over to Auckland because he was playing for, I think he was playing for Newcastle at that time, and he wanted to sign Rupini. They wanted to sign Rupini. So, yeah, we had to pick him up quietly from the airport. He didn't even go through customs. I think he got brought through some sort of secret door. And, here I was rather than take him to a hotel where people would see him and notice him too, we took him to, I think it was Rupini's agent's batch, about an hour out of Auckland. And it was very, very secret squirrel, as you say. And here we were with Rupini Thaothao and Johnny Wilkinson having a yarn on the couch, and I'm sitting on the other couch just looking at them wondering what the F am I doing here. But it's amazing what goes on behind the scenes and some things that that happen. And some stories you can tell, some stories you can't tell.
No doubt. Well, Cam, we appreciate it, mate.
We are getting to the end of the investigation. Just before we wrap it up, is there any projects you want to shout out about?
Sure.
What I'm doing at the moment, I've still got a couple of fingers in the pies around the sporting industry, and I'm doing full-time sevens teaching and coaching at a school at the moment out in Auckland here, which is quite big now that sevens is an Olympic pathway. But what else I get up to is help youngins, sort of mentor youngins trying to get through school and then try to crack the professional rugby scene. So I'm doing a lot of that at the moment, and I've done that for the last few years. And if you want to give me a follow on Instagram, cam_kilgar, and you can, follow some of the stories of these up and coming rugby players and players that hopefully eventually will be big names, and you'll see them on the field, or hopefully see them playing for the All Blacks. So, give us a follow on that. And if anybody wants any help or any advice around being a professional sports person, I'm always there to help. So, yeah, for us, it's, I know, unfortunately for you guys, it's very different, but for us, it's very easy. We've got a, I mean, every kid over here, well, 90% of the kids over here, they want to be an All Black, girls included, which is great. You know, that's why our women's rugby is so strong too. But you know, we have such a strong school rugby program. We, you know, we have a national competition where all the first 15s try to get to the top four and be crowned the best rugby school in New Zealand each year. Then we have a strong club competition. Then we have a strong Mitre 10 Cup, which is your NRC. You know, we've had that going for 10, 15, 20 years. So that's why that's strong, and that's a really good base, and that's where our Super Rugby teams pick their players from. So we have that really steady and good level of rugby. You know, we have so many good levels of rugby to get picked up from. So that works really well for us. But what we have noticed now is that, and you guys would be the same with all your codes, is that, you know, kids leave school now and they're professional rugby players or professional league players or straight away. So they don't get that life experience. They don't,
yeah, good point.
They don't know what it's like to, you know, to have to mow a lawn or to have a, have a summer holiday or, you know, that type of thing. So having a mentor or having somebody around that can give them advice. It's not an agent. I'm not an agent. I don't get paid for the work I do, and I don't want to get paid for the work I do. It's just something that I like to do and something that I like to help people with. But it has to be done like that. You need people around doing that type of thing. And unfortunately for rugby league, you know, they've noticed a lot of unfortunate, you know, there's been suicides from players that have really struggled from leaving school or leaving a good support network and trying to become a professional rugby league player, and it doesn't work, and they don't have anything else to move on or to look forward to. So, you know, it's just bringing some common sense, and it's, yeah, mentors out there are really important for young people coming through.
Yeah, 100%,
sure,
mate.
For sure.
Well, I think, glad Mr. Kilgore, that rounds out our inspection quite nicely.
And we'll Am I free to go?
Look, at this time, I think we're going to give you permission to move on.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to get some advice on
yes,
on a few things.
If you could stay in town until we give you the go-ahead, that would be very helpful for us.
But, you want to keep my passport?
Well, we're not going to go that far, but we might, you know? We'll be in touch.
Okay, perfect. Awesome.
But thank you for your time today. That was excellent.
Nah, thanks, guys.
No worries, mate. Appreciate Have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great effort, team.
Hey, I found the binder.
Oh, well, that makes it easy then.
Yep. Passwords. Let me see.
That's not the right folder at all, is it?
Nope, not at all.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of The Wallet Inspectors and haven't already done so, please go and give us a review on iTunes or find us on Facebook and Twitter. This episode was written and edited by Michael Wilkins, who, along with Alex Jones and Luke Gold, created and starred in it with special guest Cam Kilgore. Are you a cop? You have to tell me if you are. Because I am, too.